Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together. Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the Go and Teach Bible Study program. If you're in the Phoenix area and you're looking for a place to worship the Lord this morning, we'd love to have you here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible classes. If you'd like to come down and study God's Word with us, we'd love to have you visit with us. If you're interested in a personal Bible study, you want to sit down with somebody and talk about questions you might have, or you want to consider some things from God's Word, we'd love to schedule a time to get to know you and to get to study God's Word together with you. Just give us a contact on our website at montevistacoc.com. And we'd love to help you out in any way that we can. You know, one of the things that I love is the Old Testament. I love looking back to see God's relationship with his people and the reaction that his people had toward him. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God's interaction with his people. We see how much he loved them, how much he cared for them. We also see how, though, the people continued to grow farther and farther away from him. As a father caring for his children, we see God loving his people and his people being like rebellious little kids, going off and growing tired of serving him, growing tired and pained almost as they worshiped him. And we see God's discipline over his people. We see how he felt about their rebellion. You ever get tired of serving God? Be honest. Have you ever find yourself weary from having to be a good example, from having to come to worship, or from having to spend all of this time and effort and energy being a faithful child of his? You ever get tired having to watch everything that you say and everything that you do? You ever wish that God would just cut you some slack and let you live your life however you want to live it? After years of serving God, his people began to grumble. His people began to complain about him, even though he had done some amazing things for them, even though he had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, even though he had carried them through the wilderness, even though he had brought them to a land that flowed with milk and honey, the land of promise. They complained. They grumbled. But what about us? We need to realize that if we begin to feel apathetic toward God, if we begin to become callous toward God, if we start to complain about his requirements for our life, that we've forgotten his great power and his great love that he has for us. The Israelites forgot about God. They forgot about his power. They forgot that he carried them through all of these difficult times. And they began to drift off into a life that was completely against God. This morning, let's consider a passage in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6. Micah is actually the book right after Jonah, if you're looking. Micah chapter 6, we're going to consider here throughout the morning just the first 8 verses of Micah chapter 6. And what I want us to see in this discussion is why God would say to his people, "O my people, what have I done to you?" Their relationship, the relationship that God had with his people, had grown so tense and so strained that God had to ask his people, "What did I do to you?" So let's look here in Micah chapter 6. We're gonna read the first 5 verses here this morning as we start. Micah chapter 6, verse 1. "Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. The Lord had a complaint against his people, and the Lord here is bringing that complaint against them. He's basically saying, what have I done to you? They seem to act as if God was so oppressive to them that, like, if the commands that God had given them, the law that he had provided for them, was just such a burden on them. If we look at the book of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31, the prophet there, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says, have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are free, we will come no more to you? Essentially, there in Jeremiah, the people are saying that God had become like a wilderness or a dark room where as soon as you left that area, you were so glad to get out of there. God's asking, what did I do to deserve that kind of treatment? What did I do to you that you would think about me in that way as your father? In fact, as we see here in verse 4 of Micah chapter 6, God actually gave them freedom, not oppression. He says in verse 4, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Essentially, what he's saying here is I have brought you through. I've brought you out of slavery, I've brought you out of bondage, and now all you can do is look to me and complain, like I've wearied you in some way. And he goes on to say that in verse 3. He says, oh my people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? Testify against me. The people of God wanted to live their own life. They wanted to live their own life of ease and happiness. And they thought that God's commandments to them was just a bunch of weary things that they had to go through. We see the prophet Malachi talk about this very same thing in Malachi, the first chapter, verse 13. God prophesies through the prophet Malachi here, and he says, you say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? The people had gotten tired of serving God. They just felt like offering sacrifices and doing all of these things that God had asked them to do was just a big burden. In fact, God not only had given them freedom, but God had protected them. We see that in verse 5. He says, oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. If you know the story of Balak, and you know the story here of Balaam, you understand the protection that God gave to his people. God cared about them. He wasn't being a weariness to them. He was caring for them. He was protecting them. He gave them freedom. And so this is all a history lesson. If we really just sit back and consider the children of Israel, and we just really consider what they used to do back then. But what's the application for us today? God's desire is still for our salvation today. God still wants us to be saved. God still wants to give us freedom from our sin. He still wants to protect us. Yet, oftentimes, we look to him and we say, oh, what a weariness. You know, Jesus, as he looked over the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus looked to Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That's what the problem is. It's our unwillingness. It's the unwillingness of our heart that prevents us from seeing the greatness of God and the comfort from God. Jesus wanted to gather up the Jews together with him, but they were unwilling. You know, God is not willing here that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God doesn't want people to fall away. God doesn't want people to go off and become unfaithful to him. God wants everyone to repent. But again, sometimes we cry out. When our love for God is failing, we can become complainers. We can lose heart. And sometimes we even look around at the easy life that everyone has around us. And we begin pining away for a chance to go be happy, a chance for us to go live our life in ease. Let us never consider our service to God as a weariness, but let us remember that he's provided salvation for us, and he's never done anything to hurt us or lead us in the wrong direction. God, as our Father, has guided us and led us to a place where we can have salvation from our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that fact alone should cause us every day to renew our strength and energy to serve him, to love him, and to trust him as our God and as our Father. But let's continue here in Micah chapter 6. We see here in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, that Micah goes on to sort of ask some rhetorical questions. He's asking some questions about what it is that the people need to do. How do the people need to solve this situation? And as we're going to see, man cannot come up with an adequate solution. We see here in Micah chapter 6, verses 6, he says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" You see, they ask the question, should we sacrifice our material possessions? They wanted to give God these burnt offerings. And over in Malachi, again, God prophesies through the prophet Malachi when he says in chapter 1, verse 8, "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably?" The people wanted to give God their second best. They didn't want to give God the best. They didn't want to offer the best sacrifice that they could. They just kind of gave him whatever was left over. God was not happy about that. God did not want those kinds of sacrifices. Maybe they should give 10,000 rivers of oil and thousands of rams. They thought that they could give God more sacrifices and that would be pleasing to God. Does God want more of something from us? Does he want more of our possessions, more of our material goods? Is that what God wants? Does he want more physical things from us? Does he even want us to go sacrifice our children, he says here in verse 7? "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" It's interesting here. I'm always reminded of two opportunities for human sacrifice in the Old Testament. One of them is Abraham. Are they looking to the example of Abraham when God told Abraham to offer up his son Isaac on the altar? Or are they looking to the sinful practices of the abomination of Molech? And we see back in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, God says, "You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Not really sure here if they're appealing to sort of a righteous sacrifice commanded by God, or if they're appealing to some kind of heathenistic sort of human sacrifice to Molech here. But either way, they think that they can trade some valuable thing to them for a relationship with God. Does God only require us to hand over what's most precious to us? Can we trade something in of value for the exchange of our soul? Again, let's look at the application of these things for us. God gives us more than we could ever give him. God doesn't necessarily want quantity. He doesn't want us to sing more songs to him. And he doesn't want us to convert more people so that we can be pleasing to him. God wants more than that. Yeah, he does want our sacrifices. Yes, back then he did want them to lay down their offerings to him. But there was something that was more important. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But God has given us his son. And don't you think he's going to continue to give us whatever we need? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, that we have great confidence in our Lord. He says in verse 31 of Romans 8, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God has given more for us than we could ever give back to him. Sacrifice is very good. Sacrifice is something that's necessary. But let's be clear, it's not enough. It's not enough now, in our Christian dispensation of time. It was not enough back then in the old law. If you look back at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, God says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." So God wants sacrifice. He wants us to give up things that are precious to us. But he doesn't just want that. More important to God is what we see here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. If you go back to Micah 6, as we look in verse 8, we see what's more important to God. And that was echoed in the last passage we read. Obedience. To obey the Lord. To give him our heart as a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, laying down our life as a daily sacrifice for him. That's what God wants. That's what God truly cares about. We see here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" God has shown us what is good. We know how to live in this world because of his great holiness. We know what we should put into our life, what we should say, how we should respond. We know the attitudes that we should have because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Peter says, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." God, our perfect and righteous Father in heaven, wants us as his children to look to him as a perfect example of holiness. He wants us to understand that he is the example. He is the pattern that we need to follow. He's not kept it a secret. He's not hidden his requirements for us. He's not put away some things that we need to do for him in a dark room that we can't know. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence." God has shown us what is good. He hasn't hidden anything from us, and he's allowed us to see what righteousness really looks like. And what is it? So what does God require of us? Well, we see here in Micah 6, verse 8, he says, "To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." God wants us. He wants our hearts. All these things here are conditions of the heart. To walk justly, to love justice, really, to love mercy, to offer this kind of forgiveness to our brothers and sisters when we need to. And verse 8, to walk humbly with our God. Humility. Love, mercy, justice. These are the kinds of things that God wants. And if we convince ourselves into thinking that this is unique to the new law, this is what God always wanted. This is what God has wanted for his people since the beginning of time. Since the beginning that God created man, he's wanted them to be holy as he's holy. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, we see a picture of what God wanted for his people long ago. He says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Notice the emphasis there on their heart. Notice the emphasis there on their soul. God wanted them to keep his commandments. He wanted them to keep his statutes, but he wanted them to do it out of their heart. He wanted them to do it because they truly loved him. We need to focus inwardly for the answer to the question of what God really wants. When we look in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." When we put the law of God into our inner man, into our heart, and we allow it to permeate our life and come out, then that's truly when God is pleased with our sacrifice. So what about today? God required justice, mercy, and to walk humbly back then. God still wants our hearts today. God still wants us to dedicate ourselves to him. And one of the greatest passages to think of when considering this point is Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, where Jesus tells us what the greatest commandment is. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." We need to remember why we're here on this earth, what our purpose is. We also need to remember that the great many blessings that we've been given by God as our Father, as someone who loves us and cares for us. When we forget these things, though, when we forget about the care that he has for us, the love that he has for us, and how he desires our heart today, then we lose sight of what's most important in our life. Sacrifice is going to follow once our hearts are with him. And that's, I think, one of the biggest lessons from this passage in Micah chapter 6. God doesn't want an outward show. He doesn't want us to just put on a nice show for people and a nice front for people to see. He wants his word in our heart. And when his word is in our heart, the things that we do will reflect that word, and his glory will be shown in the world by our attitude and by our actions. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So he wants us to give our heart. He wants us to dedicate our lives to him. So as we look back to the children of Israel and the relationship that they began to develop with God, you ask yourself the question, do you ever get tired of serving God? Have you been growing weary? Do you think that God is some way being oppressive to you? God's not being oppressive to you. God is not causing you to grow weary. It's God that has provided us everything that he could. It's God that loves us enough to send his only son so that we can be saved. It's God who has laid down everything for us. And he's not asking for us to go out and make these extravagant physical sacrifices for him. He's not asking for us to offer our firstborn as a sacrifice to him, or go find some impossible number of physical items to give to him. No, God is asking for something that we all have. God's asking for something that we all possess and are all able to give him. He's asking for our heart. He's asking for our soul. He's asking for our dedication. He wants for us to do justly. He wants for us to think about justice, to consider justice. He wants us to be merciful to one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, to cut each other some slack sometimes. And he wants us to walk humbly with him. So let's make sure that we are dedicated to the Lord, that we're committed to him in our heart, and that we're living in such a way where he would never look down at us and say, "What have I done to you? Testify against me." What a sad thing for God to say, but may it never be said about us that we have lived in such a way where we consider God to be a weariness. Thanks so much for tuning into the program this morning. And until next week, I hope you have an opportunity throughout this coming week to live for God and to allow the love that He has for you to shine in your heart. Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.